Welcome to the Questo Show.
All right, here we go. It's that time of year.
Juicy Cogburns, it's that time of year.
Oh, it's the time of year where I get to lose something and then have to watch some awful movie?
Hey, do you not remember 2 years ago we tied?
Vaguely.
All right, we'll go over all that in a second. Welcome to this year's bonus episode, Oscar Picks Edition for Cinema Crespo. I'm your host, Chris Crespo. Thank you.
Crips Cresso.
And that guy right there is Juicy Cogburn. Light applause. It's an awards ceremony. It's a bunch of awards bullshit. Let's just get this right off, straight away, right off the bat. Despite everything else we're going to talk about and we're going to say for the rest of this episode, always know that deep down in my heart, I do believe that awards for art is whack. It's a gross process. We shouldn't be comparing pieces of art together. Having said that, Drew, let's do some judging, bro.
Sweet. Let's judge some art.
Because that's what this season's all about. Every year, it's February. Every year, it's that time where today is the day.
Today's the day.
That final votes are in for the 87th Academy Awards. They've been doing this 87 years now.
Okay.
The show is this Sunday, hosted by Neil Patrick Harris.
NPH.
Going to be the best part of the whole show, for sure. Calling it right now. Calling it. Neil Patrick Harris, best part of the show. And yeah, it's that time of year where we judge the art that we saw in the year prior, 2014. And as such, this is our third year. It's funny that we did an Oscar. We started the show in January 2013. So then, boom, right away, it was Oscar season, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And we did our Oscar bonus episode already. This is, Drew, our third annual Oscar Picks bonus episode. Here's a recap. First year. To even it out, we just started the show. This was thrust upon you to make it, you know, in interest of fairness. We both picked our picks. And I just randomly gave you, I figured it was a good number, the plus six handicap out of 24 categories. Remember that?
Yes.
And then I don't remember what the bet was at that time. We ended up pushing.
Yeah.
I think it was something like I got like 19 or 18 right. And then you got, you know, 12 or 13 right plus the six. We pushed.
Mm-hmm.
So I figured, all right, you know, let's try to close that gap. Try not to let that happen, right? Last year, knocked it down to -4. But the Oscars were so boring and predictable that I got most of them right anyway. It didn't even matter. You ended up watching Tyler Perry's Made of Christmas.
Yes.
I kind of watched it too in the background.
Yeah, it was bad.
Yeah. Good times.
It was.
Took forever for that bet to pay off. So we'll try not to let that happen this time.
Well, you know, it's... We chose a poor.
Well, I remember actually what happened was, we might as well get this part out of the way too, straight up front, so everyone knows what the stakes are. Last year, we got a bunch of different options. People gave us like four or five different things. We mixed them all together, randomized them up, and the one that came out was watch Tyler Perry Made of Christmas, suggested by @MattCellery.
I remember. Yeah.
This year, I put out the call once on Facebook. What should we do? I reminded people this is what it was. If it would be some movie related, that'd be great. What should we do for this year's bonus Oscar episode? The first one to comment, this was on Facebook, was Big Mike. Shout out to Big Mike.
Yes.
Swamp Patrol Radio, Swamp Patrol guys. Those guys are awesome. Check them out. And he suggested watch 50 Shades of Grey in a dress. You had to throw in that little bit of hazing there.
Gotta be wearing a dress.
And then instead of getting a bunch of different people like, no, you should do this, you should do that, get a bunch of different suggestions that we could have then put on some sort of like wheel of death that spun, you know, there could have been a lot of suspense.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone was just like, yeah, 50 Shades, 50 Shades in dress. Like, just a bunch of people following it. No other suggestions. That the people are demanding 50 Shades. I'm making an executive decision, though. Presidential veto type stuff. Mm-hmm. 50 Shades, that's the penalty. Whoever loses has to watch it.
Okay.
I ain't trying to see you in a dress. I ain't trying to wear a dress. I don't know what kind of fetishes people out there trying to get their jollies on. You want to look up hairy men in dresses, fat or thin. The internet's full of them already. Go ahead, Google that on your own. Sorry, Big Mike. But we'll do 50 Shades. That's appropriate. I mean, if we're just going to stick to watching a bad movie, a supposedly bad movie, who knows? Maybe
maybe you'll really like it.
Maybe we'll really like it. You never know. That's happened. That's happened. So there we go. Those are stakes, Drew.
Okay, I'm down.
And then
I have a feeling I'm watching 50 Shades of Grey.
You never know, because this year's Oscars is crazy, and I'm making some decisions, I'm telling you now, that could end up fucking me.
Dude, my decisions don't make any fucking sense, especially with what I know about the Oscars and, you know, how
the shit's given out or whatever.
How it's given out.
This is your third year now doing it, though.
Who gets what?
I think you may have learned a couple of things over the years.
What kind of trends are coming.
Right.
And then I look at these fucking nominees, and every time I try and make something that makes sense, I get nothing.
That's the thing. It's hard to make sense of it this year. This is a weird year. 40 awards. So, instead of first year was -6, last year was -4. You want to split the difference? How does a 5 handicap sound?
I mean, I'm still going to lose, but okay.
Well, note here, +5 for Drew. Didn't even try to negotiate it up or down.
No, I'll take it. It makes no difference.
He thinks it makes no difference. You think so, but we'll see. It made a difference that first year. Second order of business, before we go through this, I had an idea for switching something up. I don't know whose favor it's going to work in, if it does or doesn't. It actually kind of goes, the reason I thought of this, it kind of speaks to the arbitrary nature of award giving. Okay. The crapshoot that some of this stuff is.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go. The categories that are short film based. What we got? We got best live action short film, best animated short film. Are those the only two? I think those might be the only two. Drew, I want you. Oh, and best documentary short subject. Of those three categories, all short film based. Drew, I want you to pick my picks.
Okay.
You can, whatever you think is going to win for you, you pick them, and then you can throw me a bone on each one. You can have my picks on those three. So I'm giving you a +5, plus those, but who knows what happens with those, because it's such a crapshoot.
I've never seen any of these things.
Exactly. No one has. So you could easily pick the three winners for me.
And I could also easily pick the three winners for myself.
Which then, I'm just saying, shows that goes to the arbitrary nature of many of these awards and this picking and stuff. So, that being said, are you ready? Are you ready to go through these one at a time from the back front?
Yes.
And to spice things up a bit, just so we're not just talking categories. I'm going to throw in random Oscar facts throughout the show.
Okay.
For example, Drew, did you know the statuette that they give out?
Yeah.
It's 13 and a half inches tall and weighs 8.5 pounds.
Really?
Yeah. You could do a nice set of dumbbell curls with those. It depicts a knight. That's what the guy is. He's actually a knight. And he's holding a sword. Mm-hmm. He's standing on a reel of film, which has 5 spokes, which represent the 5 original branches of the Academy, which are the actors, directors, producers, technicians, and writers.
Nice.
So I'll be talking, throwing shit like that out there.
That doesn't make... I mean, sure. All right. Okay.
Here we go. Starting from the bottom up of our list, we got the Oscar ballot straight off there on the Oscar website. Original screenplay. Choices are Birdman, Boyhood, Foxcatcher, last page 5, The Grand Budapest Hotel, and Nightcrawler.
Uh-huh.
Which is my favorite nominee of the group, meaning it's fun seeing that name being
it is
out there.
I mean,
that was a good movie. It was a pretty tight screenplay. Pretty tight story. We enjoyed it.
Agreed.
Let's see. Do you want to go? You know what? I'll go first. I guess. We'll switch off. I'll go first. You go first. Back and forth like that. How's that sound?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Original screenplay for me. A lot of these awards are going to end up being a toss-up between Birdman and Boyhood. So if I get these picks wrong, I mean, it's going to be a wipeout for me. This could be bad. This was a tough one.
Yeah.
Original screenplay. I'm going Birdman.
And so am I.
All right. All right, there we go. I'll note that. Drew's pick. Birdman. Following original screenplay is adapted screenplay. Here we go. We got American Sniper, The Imitation Game, which is the Alan Turing movie, Inherent Vice, The Theory of Everything, Whiplash. Oh, and just like Nightcrawler,
it's good to see the name.
Yeah, every time I see Whiplash pop up, like, ooh, oh, I wish Whiplash would win it. I wish Whiplash would win everything, all the awards. But Drew, who do you think would win the adapted screenplay?
Who do I want to win? Or who do I think's going to win?
Oh, yeah, give me both. You can totally give me both.
I want Inherent Vice to win.
You know what? Me too. I love Whiplash, but having read that book and then seen the movie, I think it. Yeah,
I want Inherent Vice to win.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's going to be American Sniper, though.
American Sniper, okay. Yeah. True. I'm going with The Imitation Game because I'm thinking this award, this movie is going to win a couple of awards, but none of the big ones.
Okay.
And this would be a decent one. If it's not that, it would be The Theory of Everything for the same reasons. So you're saying American Sniper? Very possible. Very possible. That could happen. I'm telling you, man, a lot of these are such a... Reading the chicken bones are hard on these. Oh, random Oscar fact. Take this, people. The only Oscar to win an Oscar was Oscar Hammerstein II.
Ah, the second.
The
not,
second.
Not the first.
The son of Oscar Hammerstein Jr. Is that how that works? He won an Oscar for his song The Last Time I Saw Paris in the movie Lady Be Good from 1941. Drop that on people during your Oscar parties. That's what the show is all about. Letting people know what they should pick, even though I'm saying no one really knows. And you learn these facts, and then you go to an Oscar party. You just drop these facts on motherfuckers. They're like, what? Achievements in visual effects. In 1982, when Tron came out, it was disqualified for the visual effects category because it used computers. Imagine that now?
Yeah.
How funny is that?
There would be...
They were so ahead of their time.
There would be no category.
They were so ahead of their time that back then the Academy was like, you guys are cheating. Hysterical. Still not a good movie, but it's Trump. You know, it has its place in cinema. Captain America, The Winter Soldier. This is where you get a lot of your blockbuster type movies. Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. Das Puta. The Guardians of the Galaxy. A lot of fanboy, nerd boys out there pulling for that one. Anything Guardians are going to jump on. Interstellar. The only things that really got nominated for was technical stuff like this.
Yeah.
And X-Men, Days of Future Past. Yeah, a lot of visual effects in that one, obviously. So, this one, of those five, I would like to see Interstellar, you know, get something. Because it's Interstellar, that movie is gorgeous. But I think... It's going to go to as a almost like throwing a bone to Andy Serkis going Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
Okay.
Because there's a big push behind the scenes to try to get him nominated for Best Actor and even in the consideration. And he really wasn't even in consideration. And yeah. Then there was even a push to try to make like a separate category for motion capture acting or whatever, trying to find a way to get that. So I'm saying that's where it's going, that one.
Okay.
That's my rationale. What about you? What do you think?
I decided to just kind of pick something a bit random. I went Guardians of the Galaxy.
Okay, sure.
Because it was beautiful.
It is.
It was a big movie this year.
Made a lot of money.
A lot of people liked it.
A lot of people noticed it. It was a gorgeous movie. All these movies looked great. Well, Captain America looked a little gray and grimy, but that was the point. Achievement in sound mixing. American Sniper, Birdman, Interstellar, Unbroken, and Whiplash. Again, Whiplash, pretty cool. What do you think, Drew? How did you think the sound was mixed in these different films?
I went with Whiplash.
Oh, did you? Yeah.
Just because of all the music that's actually in the movie.
Yeah, sure.
All the separate instruments.
Yeah.
I don't know how the movie was done, recorded, anything of that nature. But if a lot of that stuff was live, if it happened to be,
yeah,
Then, man, that was some good work.
Yeah, that was a great, great work there. Yeah. I went Birdman.
The Birdman.
Because I just feel like, in many ways, I think it's going to be Birdman's night.
I hope so.
In many ways.
But Whiplash is a good pick, too. That's also a good pick.
Achievement in sound editing. So there's sound mixing and then there's sound editing. And those people, they don't even talk to each other.
Nope.
They're like in different buildings and shit. American Sniper, Birdman, Interstellar, Unbroken, The Hobbit, Battle of the Five Armies. Whiplash team can't get anything for sound editing, just the mixing.
Yeah, just the mixing.
The Hobbit comes in. I'm saying Birdman because those things usually come in pairs. Those two categories. Usually. So Birdman. What about you, Drew?
I'm an Interstellar.
Ah. Controversy over the sound in that. Would that be the mixing? That might be the mixing part. But the some of the dialogue was kind of low.
Yeah, it was.
But that was a deliberate choice by Christopher Nolan. He was taking some risks there. Drew, did you know Midnight Cowboy, 1969, is the only X-rated movie to ever win an Oscar?
Really?
Any sort of Oscar. It just happened to win Best Motherfucking Picture.
Nice.
Midnight Cowboy. And then it was re-released very shortly thereafter in an R-rated version, which they didn't even cut out that much. I mean, really, it's just John Voight running around in some lady's apartment naked for a minute. Yeah. There's not that much. There's no reason to make it X-rated in the first place. But. Good movie, though.
Apparently that John Voight schlong is...
I don't even remember seeing any... I don't remember. Just I remember a lot of John Voight ass.
Maybe nobody wanted to see John Voight's ass.
It is 1969. It was a different time.
Yes, it was.
Different time. Best... All right, here we go. These two are what I'm talking about. Best live-action short film. Drew, go ahead and read the categories. Tell me what your pick is, and tell me what my pick is.
Aya, Boogaloo, and Graham.
Are you... What?
You heard me. Butter Lamp. La Lamp Aubert de Yak. So it's not just Butter Lamp, but Yak Butter Lamp.
Oh, interesting. See, Drew knows a little bit of that en français.
Uh-huh. Parvenet and The Phone Call. My pick is Boogaloo and Graham because of the name.
Okay.
And your pick is going to be Butter Lamp because Butter Lamp.
Butter, Yak Butter Lamp. Okay. Excellent. Best animated short film. That was live action. Those all sound like animated.
Yeah.
Let's see where the animated ones are.
Best animated short film. The Bigger Picture. The Dam Keeper. Feast. Me and My Mouton. And A Single Life. I chose Feast.
Okay.
And you're going to pick Me and My Mouton because you laughed when I said it.
I want to know what a... Do you know what a mouton is?
No.
It sounds like...
I mean, if it's French, then it's just a sheep.
Oh, me and my sheep. For me, as for me and my sheep, Drew, we will serve the Lord. Did you know 1939, Gone with the Wind was the first movie filmed in color to win Best Picture?
No, I did not know that.
Gone with the Wind in 1939. Never seen the whole thing. Guess we have to get around one day to do that, you know. Got plans in the works for catching up on all the movies that we haven't seen. It's going to be fun.
I want to watch that SpongeBob.
You don't watch... Oh, yeah. Well, definitely going to watch that SpongeBob. Sure. Oh, okay. Here we go. You got to do this next one as well. Best documentary short subject. Go ahead.
Where?
My pages already got mixed up there. That's why they're numbered. That's why they're numbered, Drew.
I should have numbered mine.
No, they are numbered.
Wow.
Oh. Numbered already, buddy.
Oh. Hey. Hey, they are. Page
here we go. Here we go.
Page two.
We're on page 3 to 4. End of 3, beginning of 4. Correct. Here we go. Achievement in production design.
Yes.
This is an interesting one. The Grand Budapest Hotel. The Imitation Game. Interstellar. This is for Kill Bill 1 and 2. Also, something with the Rawhide. All right, here we go. Achievement in production design. Grand Budapest Hotel. Grand Budapest.
Budapest.
The Imitation Game. Interstellar. Into the Woods. Mr. Turner, which I think I might make it to the Enzian to see that this weekend.
Interesting.
I might. This one for me is between Grand Budapest and Interstellar.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a toss-up.
I just chose.
Hmm.
Which one?
On the count of three. One, two, three.
Grand Budapest.
I was going to explain how to... I was going to explain how first, and then you just... I said Interstellar. All right, here we go. Excellent. Excellent picks. Excellent picture, because if it wasn't Interstellar, that would be my pick. Achievement in music written for motion pictures. Everything is Awesome, the Lego Movie. Only nomination for the Lego Movie. Glory for Selma. Grateful, Beyond the Lights. Remember that movie?
Nope.
That was the one about the starlet who, like, she just gets
popular.
She
falls in love.
She falls in love and shit gets crazy. That actually had, got pretty good reviews. I think it's just coming out on DVD soon, so. I'm Not Gonna Miss You. What movie is that for?
Glenn Campbell, I'll Be Me.
Oh, Glenn Campbell, Be Me. Oh, see, that was throwing me off because I just said Glenn Campbell. Like a documentary, I guess? Glenn Campbell documentary?
I have no idea.
And Lost Stars from Begin Again, the Mark Ruffalo, Keira Knightley movie.
Very nice.
What did you say, Drew?
I went with the Lego Movie.
Because everything is awesome.
Because everything is awesome and everything's cool and you're part of the team.
I would like it to be that.
It's not going
to
win, but...
I think it's going to be Selma, Glory, because that's like... throwing them a bone. Oh, you guys made a nice movie over there. Here's a music award. I know you people like music, right? See, that's how they think.
Yep.
Fucking racism. Racism's killing me on the inside. Now this is some interesting shit. So Neil Patrick Harris, right?
NPH.
Hosting for the first time. I am willing to bet, because this guy is such a talent, you know, and he's already proven that he can do the hosting thing with other award shows. I am willing to bet that he is going to go on a run now of maybe not hosting every year, but being like the go-to, what Billy Crystal once was for a while in the 90s.
Yeah, for the Oscars.
Yeah, he's going to be like it for a while. People are going to love him. No. It's going to be fun. He'll make it fun again. I really like Seth MacFarlane. Yeah, I think
it was a weird... Oh, man, that was such a weird Oscars last year.
I think he got hosed. That was 2 years ago.
2 years ago.
Last year was Ellen, which was generally well-received, but was also fucking boring, just like the picks. It was a boring Oscars last year. Mentioned Billy Crystal. He's hosted 8 times. But he hasn't hosted the most.
Who has?
Bob Hope.
Of course.
18 times, motherfucker. 18 times Bob Hope has hosted.
God damn.
That's a guy who could host a goddamn show.
No shit.
Billy Crystal, 8 times. Johnny Carson hosted 5 times. Mm-hmm. Those must have been good. I mean, he's Johnny Carson. He's like, it would have been cool. Anyway, I was going. Also, the first Oscars, first Academy Awards, televised in 1953.
Mm-hmm.
It was televised in the U.S. and Canada. 13 years later, in 1966, it was broadcast in color for the first time. So all those years was in black and white.
Mm-hmm.
First, both the first Oscar telecast ever and the first color one, hosted by Bob Hope.
Of course.
Bob Hope. Achievement in music written for motion pictures, original score. So this is before it was a song. This is the full score. Grand Budapest Hotel, Imitation Game, Interstellar, Mr. Turner, The Theory of Everything. This one was a little tough because really, I think Hans Zimmer never gets props, especially for something like Interstellar. He never gets his props. So then it comes down to, this is very much one of those categories where it's more about the person than the actual piece of music. Because so much of the music's interchangeable anyway. It's all about Alexander Desplat. The guy's been a wunderkind in the industry for a few years now. I think he's even won a couple times recently, did he? So he's nominated twice for Grand Budapest Hotel and Imitation Game. He's done them both. I'm going Grand Budapest.
Hey, me too.
All right. So just push them down. Achievement in makeup and hairstyling. Only 3 nominees. Foxcatcher, featuring Steve Carell's nose and teeth.
Mm-hmm.
Channing Tatum's underbite.
Yes.
And Mark Ruffalo's.
Mark Ruffalo's cauliflower ears.
And his hairline.
Yeah.
Everyone's. Yeah. And cauliflower ears. Yeah. Gross. Grand Budapest Hotel. Guardians of the Galaxy, which, you know, green people and Drax and a lot of crazy designs. Drew, what did you say?
I own the Foxcatcher.
You want Foxcatcher? I mean, it is impressive work for those all those guys, for sure. For sure. I went with Grand Budapest. Because I'm actually thinking maybe this one might be the less flashy to make up.
Mm-hmm.
Might be one of those things. I don't know.
Who knows?
Really, who knows?
Watch it be Guardians.
Right? They're like, oh, we like that green lady. Best foreign language film of the year. You have Ida from Poland, which played at the Florida Film Festival. We should have seen it.
Didn't.
It's on the Netflix. Should have watched it by now.
Didn't.
Haven't. Leviathan from Russia, which is coming to the Enzian pretty soon. I'm pretty sure. Tangerines from Estonia. I want to see a fucking movie from Estonia.
Do you?
Yeah. Yeah, I want to see what they're cranking out over there. Okay. That's very interesting. That's a good way to look at a culture, a place that you have no idea about. Watch their movies. Except for, like, Turkey, because then you just think everything over there, people just walk around in Spider-Man outfits. And
how about the next one?
I can't even say that. Timbuktu from Mauritania. Is that where Timbuktu is? No, where's Timbuktu?
Somewhere in Africa.
So more, it's African? I've seen some African cinema. No.
Where is it?
Is it Uganda? There's some country over there. One of the countries over there is experiencing, like, a nice little, like, underground, independent, like, low-budget fucking, like, cinema wave. You know, it's pretty exciting stuff, actually. And Wild Tales from Argentina. History of good films coming from South America. You picked first last time?
Mm-hmm.
Of these five movies, the only two I've even heard anything about or read anything about was Ida and Leviathan. People love Ida. Like, love it, which is why I've been meaning to get around to watch it. It's why it's on the list. It's not like every day I'm trying to watch a movie about a nun going on a pilgrimage to check out the grave of her relatives who died in World War II.
Yeah.
You know? Ooh, sounds exciting.
It does.
But apparently...
It's awesome.
Apparently it's awesome, so I gotta watch it. Leviathan, though, I saw that trailer. It looks great. And it's been getting raves. And actually, Vladimir Putin hates it.
Oh, that makes me like it even more.
Which makes me like it even more, yeah. He's like, the way it depicts Russia is terrible. Like, ooh, I gotta see this. Because it must be true. So between those two, I'm going with Ida. Because it's been out longer, so a chance more people have seen it by now.
I went with Leviathan because of the name.
It's a badass name. That's another reason why I want to see it. Because it's got an awesome name. So I'm messing on up. One time during the history of the Academy Awards, a person won without even being nominated. Yes. Is that amazing? 1935. Hal Moore was a write-in winner for Best Cinematography. So it wasn't even like some chump category. It was like a major category. Best Cinematography, Midsummer Night's Dream, 1935. Hal Moore. Congratulations, sir. We're still talking about you all these years later. For that amazing feat. Achievement in film editing. Which movies do you remember the editing of these movies? Here we go. American Sniper, Boyhood, Grand Budapest Hotel, Imitation Game, Whiplash.
I went with Boyhood.
Did you?
Just because of the scale.
Because of all, yeah. Having to keep all the footage for 12
like
years.
Like I said, just the scale itself.
Yeah. For me, it was between that and Grand Budapest. And I went with Boyhood, so we're going to push on that one. There we go. All right, Drew. Here's the third one, the third category where you are picking your pick and my pick. This is the best
documentary short subject. Crisis Hotline, Veterans Press One, Joanna, Our Curse, The Reaper, La Parca. And White Earth.
La Parca.
I chose the Reaper, La Parca, because...
La Parca doesn't mean the Reaper. That's weird.
Apparently it does.
Maybe that spelling of it. No, La Parca means... I guess it's like a demon. Anyway. So what'd you say? You're going with?
Reaper.
You're going with the Reaper.
Mm-hmm.
What's my pick?
You are choosing Crisis Hotline Veterans
Press
One.
Oh, man.
Because there's a colon. And I know how much you like your colon.
Oh, yeah. Crisis Colon Hotline, yeah. Crisis Hotline Colon. Best documentary feature. Citizen 4, which we've both seen. Finding in Last Days in Vietnam. The Salt of the Earth.
Oh, by Wim Wenders. That's interesting.
And Virunga by some dude named Orlando.
Orlando. Ghost City.
I went with Citizen 4 because it's the only movie I've seen of the five. Plus, it's an important fucking movie that everyone should watch.
I agree.
All right. Good choice, Drew. Now let's hope it wins. Just so people can talk about it. Drew, did you know at a certain point the Academy decided to stop saying, "And the winner is"? Have you realized that?
No.
They haven't said, "And the winner is" since 1989.
Oh, wow.
You know what they say instead? Think about it. They'll open up the envelope.
And the Oscar goes
to. And the Oscar goes to. Very good. That's what they've been saying since 1989 now. They stopped saying, "And the winner is," switch to Oscar goes to. Small, subtle difference. Yet one that was made. A decision was made. Interesting that on this list they throw it in like in front of a couple other things. We're gonna get into it now though because it's in order. Achievement in directing, straight up.
Not best director anymore. It is now the achievement in directing.
I think it was for a while. It's been for achievement, just like achievement in cinematography and costume design. Yeah, I know it's a weird linguistic distinction, but anyway, awards for art is whack. Yeah. Achievement in directing: Birdman, Boyhood, Foxcatcher, The Grand Budapest Hotel, The Imitation Game. Who picked first? I picked first last time. Here you go, Drew. Best director. Oh, I'm sorry. Achievements in directing:
Birdman.
Oh, that's this one I labored over.
The Birdman. It was between that and The Grand Budapest.
Did you really?
I didn't.
Yeah.
I mean, the scale for Boyhood. Yes. Are they really gonna give? Are they really going to get Foxcatcher, the director? Really?
No,
is that the way it's going to go?
No, because it wasn't nominated for Best Picture, weirdly.
Exactly.
Yeah, so no.
So,
plus, Bennett Miller has been nominated 3 times for Best Director, but he's never won it.
And it's not going to be The Imitation Game. The movie just wasn't good enough.
Yeah, that's the one where people are like, why the fuck is Morton Tilden in here and not Anna DuVernay for Selma?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that was some bullshit.
So, for me, it was between Birdman and Grand Budapest.
Okay.
I went Birdman.
And you went Birdman? Well, for me, it was between Birdman and Boyhood, because Boyhood, like, just won a shit ton of critics awards, and you know, between the Golden Globes and the SAG and the DGA, it's won an interesting collection of those awards. Where it's between that and Birdman, because Birdman has that momentum going for it too. A lot of people really like Birdman. The thing that Birdman has that Boyhood does not, vocal detractors. There are plenty of people out there. For all the people that really like Birdman, there's plenty. The movie is a singular enough vision that it turned off a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And they're out there. They're like, for different reasons, they're like, fuck this movie. Boyhood, the worst thing I heard about that is
it's a little boring.
It's a little boring or slow, or maybe even outside of trying to cinematically portray the experience of growing up. Outside of that, the movie's kind of pointless.
Yeah, it really is.
Right? But that's the point, though, the getting that cinematic experience across in that way. It is a very unique film in that manner.
Oh, yeah.
So I wrestled with this fucking shit, man. I really did. Here's another thing. Iñárritu won for Babel. Just a few years ago,
yeah.
Right before Beautiful. And Beautiful was nominated for some shit, but he didn't win. So Richard Linklater has been around for a long time. He's made a name for himself. Never won nothing. It would be an interesting pick.
No.
Maybe sort of a hip pick for the old Academy. Maybe that type of thing. Again, we're reading fucking chicken bones here. I went Boyhood. And this could fuck me.
Yeah.
This could fuck me good. Yep. I could end up in a theater scene.
You completely flip-flopped.
Yeah. We flip-flopped on
everything else.
Because
if you chose Boyhood on that, then I know what some of your other picks are going to be.
Exactly. So.
So if it goes the other way.
So that's what I'm saying. So I could find myself in the goddamn theater watching 50 Shades a week from now. Which I will fucking do.
I mean, I'll do it too. Luckily for me, I know someone who I'll be able to bring with me. Who might actually enjoy it.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm flattered, but so achievement in directing, achievement in costume design, Grand Budapest Hotel, Inherent Vice, Into the Woods, Maleficent, interesting, and Mr. Turner. I went with Grand Budapest. It would be nice to see Inherent Vice in there. The other three movies, I don't think they make big enough waves. It's one of those things where, you know, Grand Budapest has been nominated a lot. I don't think it's going to get blanked. This is what I'm saying. It's going to win this one. What about you?
I'm with Maleficent.
Ooh, I like it.
Because it's the, I didn't see it Into the Woods or Mr. Turner.
No.
I thought maybe Grand Budapest, but nah.
So you want the Angelina Jolie. Hey, she looked great in that. Great costume. Drew, did you know the turning point from 1977 and The Color Purple from 1985 were both nominated 11 times?
No, really.
Yet neither film won a single award.
Interesting.
Those two films. It happens. On the flip side, you had shit like Lord of the Rings, Return of the King, where it was nominated for 11, and it won all. It won all of them. It was like, fuck you guys. I am
the king.
This was an achievement. This was 6 years worth of filmmaking being awarded.
Yeah.
Achievement in cinematography. We got that Birdman, Grand Budapest Hotel, Ida popping up in a cinematography, black and white movie. Maybe that's why. Mr. Turner, Dick Pope. Funny thing about that. Get to that in a second. Unbroken, Roger Deakins. That's the obligatory yearly Roger Deakins.
That's a good job, Rog.
I mean, he is at least nominated for one of the many movies he does. And every couple of years, they also give the award to him as well. It's kind of like almost like Meryl Streep, except better.
Mm-hmm.
When they did the announcements, the Oscar announcements, the morning of, you know, whatever, a few weeks ago, of the nominees, they went through all the achievements. You can look this up online. Like, you Google this, it pops up. They did, you know, Birdman, and they showed a shot from the movie, and it said in the corner, cinematography by Emmanuel Lubezki.
Yeah.
And then Grand Budapest Hotel by Robert Yeoman. Then it said Mr. Turner on the image of Mr. Turner, and it said in the corner by Dick Poop.
Dick Poop.
Dick Poop. Straight up, Dick Poop, dude. I was on Twitter, and for some reason, hashtag Dick Poop was trending. I was like, why is Dick Poop trending? That's horrible. That's horrible. And then it turns out it was related to this fucking poor guy.
Poor Mr. Pope.
Drew, who do you think shot the prettiest pictures of those five movies? We've seen one, two.
I'm still choosing.
Oh, you haven't seen Unbroken, did you?
And I haven't made a choice yet.
It is Roger Deakins. So you're making a choice now. Okay. This is Drew's thought process. Talk it out, Drew. Talk it out, Drewster. Talk it out. Talk it out.
I'm going Grand Budapest.
Oh, he just went with the pick. He didn't even talk it out. Any reason? Just because it was so pretty?
I mean, everything was... It was...
Different. They had different frame sizes.
Well,
and
the different frame sizes, and it reminded me a lot of Hero in the way that...
The colors?
The color schemes, you know? Everything was, you know, one scene was this color, one scene was that color, one scene was this color. It's a very Wes Anderson-y thing.
Sure.
Especially with the pastels.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I enjoyed it.
Well, I went
with... Even though Birdman was crazy.
Yeah, see, I I went with Birdman because it's the illusory single take.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you know, something like maybe 20 takes, a bunch of 7-minute scenes strung together. And it looks amazing. It's gorgeous. Plus, it's Emmanuel Lubezki. Guy, he's like, you know, he's like the European Roger Deakins. The guy's just been cranking out beautiful movies for years. But I wanted to point this out. I forgot to. For the film editing, bless you. One more time. Get it out of here. Get the demon out of here. You got it out of here? For film editing, Birdman was not nominated, which is a case of the editing being so fucking good.
No, they didn't even notice.
Didn't even notice. They were probably like, oh, they just walked around with a camera the whole time and somehow filmed everything. And went, you idiots! Someone had to edit that and make it look amazing. Birdman should be winning. Here's the real Oscars. Birdman should be winning
everything.
Editing and cinematography. Selma should be winning Best Picture. Maybe someone else could win Best Director, or they should win both. David Oyelowo's not even nominated. He should be fucking winning Best Actor.
Yeah.
And he's not even nominated.
He should be.
Anyway. Those are the real Oscars in the real world. But here we go in our world.
The Roscars.
The Roscars. Yes. We're going to have to put on our show called the Roscars, the real Oscars. We won't get sued. So I want a Birdman. I want a Birdman. He went Grand Budapest. Drew, did you know?
No.
That?
No.
Three people refused to accept their Academy Award wins.
Okay.
There was Dudley Nichols. You think any guy named Dudley would be happy to win anything?
Hey, I won!
Happy to win anything. He won Best Screenplay for The Informer in 1935, but he boycotted the Academy Awards because ongoing conflicts between the Academy and the Writers Guild. So that was a union thing.
WGA
missions. Unions were pretty big. Very big deal back then. In 1970, George C. Scott won the Best Actor Award for Patton, and he refused, calling the award ceremony a, quote, two-hour meat parade.
Ooh.
You're here, Mr. Scott. And finally, and probably most famously, Marlon Brando won Best Actor for The Godfather in 72. He refused the award because of the discrimination towards Native Americans by the United States and Hollywood, and that he sent a woman named Satchin Littlefeather to collect his award. And then it turns out Satchin Littlefeather was actually an actress named Maria Cruz. So there you go. Those are three ungrateful sons of bitches for you right there. Best Animated Feature Film of the Year. Big Hero 6. The Box Trolls. How to Train Your Dragon 2. Song of the Sea. The Tale of the Princess Kaguya. Drew, this is on your army. I think it's on you.
I'm with Big Hero 6 because I didn't see any of them.
You even see it? You don't even see any of them. Actually, I haven't seen any of them either. And having seen none of them, I went with most popular, which would be How to Train Your Dragon 2. Just banking on maybe those guys actually saw it. Performance by an actress and a support. Here we go. 1, 2, 3. These are the top 5 awards. These are the heavy hitters, the big shits on Turd Mountain. We are starting with Best Supporting Actress. Patricia Arquette for Boyhood. Laura Dern for Wild, in which she played Reese Witherspoon's mother. She's only 7 years older than Reese Witherspoon. I didn't mind. Keira Knightley for Imitation Game. The award for most undeserved nomination goes to Keira Knightley right off the bat.
Yes.
For that one. Just
saying. She was not that good.
No. Well, she wasn't bad.
She wasn't that good, though.
But she was like, she just showed up. She just showed up and all Keira Knightley did it up. Emma Stone for Birdman and Meryl Streep for Into the Woods because it's obligatory. It's a Roger Deakins award for Meryl Streeping. Mm-hmm. Word of Meryl Streep award for Daniel Day-Lewising. However you want to put it. During a movie, they do a movie, it gets awarded or gets nominated. It's on me. Yes. I'm going with Patricia Arquette.
Okay.
Because of the whole 12-year thing. She didn't die. She didn't have any like work done over those years, so her face didn't get all crazy. I'm assuming I haven't actually seen the movie, so I'm going with Patricia Arquette.
She varies in weights.
She ages. She varies in weights. Very true life. Very real.
Yeah.
Very real. So that's why.
I went with Meryl Streep because.
Because it's Meryl Streep.
Mm-hmm.
It's the obligatory. It's the obligatory.
Might as well just give it to her this time.
Sure.
Here, Meryl, have another one.
She's been nominated a ton of times. Only won like three of them. Let me see what we got here. Performance by an actress in a leading role. Best actress. We got Marion Cotillard for 2 Days, 1 Night. Felicity Jones, A Theory of Everything, played the wife of Stephen Hawking. Julianne Moore, Still Alice, played the lady with early Alzheimer's. Mm-hmm. Just getting Alzheimer's. Rosamund Pike, Gone Girl, where she played a gone girl. Crazy one.
A psycho.
And Reese Witherspoon for Wild, where she played a real person. So, Drew, what is your choice?
Reese Witherspoon for Wild, even though I didn't see it. But you said that she was very good in the movie.
She is actually quite good. She's the best part of the movie.
So there we go. That's why.
She's the best part of the movie. Got a couple hot sex scenes in there, which I got to watch with my parents. That was a lot of fun. I don't recommend watching this movie with your parents, guys. But. Or at least find a way to leave the room once Reese Witherspoon starts getting banged out hardcore in back alleys and dark hotel rooms.
Sweet.
Fortunately, it's in a montage, so it's all like...
Real quick.
Outside of some shots of her sucking on a thumb here and there. Yeah. Like, quick shots of that. We're just like, oh, my mom's right here, guys. My mom's right here. Can you keep it cool? Can we be cool?
Nope.
Can we cut out all the drugs and the sex and just talk about her walking up the nature trail? That was my parents. She was very good at that, though. I went with Julianne Moore for a movie I haven't seen, Still Alice, because she's doing the whole Alzheimer's thing, I guess. I don't know. I don't know what's going on.
Sure.
It's playing at the Winter Park. I've been like, should I go see it?
The WP?
I'm sure it's okay enough movie. This weekend, I'm either going to see that or I'm going to see Mr. Turner. Maybe I'll see SpongeBob. I don't know. I'm sure people listen to the show a year from now. Why are you listening to the show a year later? It's Oscar picks for last year. Listen to this year's Oscar picks. Listen to the 2016 episode. Anyway. Drew, did you know? That's a new segment.
Drew, did I know?
Drew, did you know?
Okay.
No, Drew, did you know?
No, I didn't.
The only films to win 3 Academy Awards for acting. There are 4 awards for acting. Only 2 films have won 3 of them.
Okay.
Streetcar Named Desire, 1951. And one of my favorites, Network, from 1976. As of now, and still not even happening this year, so guarantee for another year at least, no film has won all 4 acting awards.
No. There we go.
That'll be a fucking feat if that ever happens. If you fucking parlay that bet on the on Vegas. All right, here we go. Best Supporting Actor. Robert Duvall for The Judge, because he's old. Like, man, we got to give this guy something. Ethan Hawke for Boyhood. Edward Norton, Birdman. Most fun nomination there for that category. Mark Ruffalo, Foxcatcher. Mark Ruffalo and his hairline, his cauliflower ears. And J.K. Simmons, Whiplash.
Whoopsh. Whoopsh.
It's on me. J.K. has got the momentum.
Of course.
He's got the momentum.
He was amazing. He was the best of everyone on that list.
Of all those people.
He was the best this year.
He was amazing. Yes, absolutely. Really funny. I read an interview with the director, Damien Chazelle, the writer-director, this kid. He's like 28, call him a kid. In the interview he gave, this was a few months ago, like a while ago, right before all the awards started getting handed out, someone asked him about casting J.K. Simmons in his movie. He's like, man, I wrote it for him. I want him to be in it so bad. He said, I wanted to be the guy that got him his Oscar for acting.
Oh, there we go.
It's going to happen.
Yeah.
Good for this Damien guy. He got J.K. his Oscar. So we're both saying J.K.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And best actor in a motion picture, we have nominated Foxcatcher, Steve Carell, and his nose and his teeth. Bradley Cooper, American Sniper, and his extra 80 pounds of muscle and his neck beard and his squished down heat. Benedict Cumberbatch, Imitation Game, with his
squished down gay,
and his take on Alan Turing as a man with Asperger's syndrome,
yes,
which apparently was not the case.
Okay,
Michael Keaton, Birdman, for being awesome.
Yes,
Eddie Redmayne, Theory of Everything, for gonna be all locked up. I love you, and then he's got the machine.
I love you.
Impressive performance from Eddie Redmayne.
Mm-hmm.
It's on you, Drew.
Steve Carell. I mean, he's not going to get it, but...
But you want it.
I'm going to wish it into existence.
Yeah, okay. I like that.
Even though he's not going to get it.
For me... I'm thinking just... And this is really based on the Golden Globes win.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going Michael Keaton. Because that was a bit of a surprise. And with David Oyelowo being out of the picture. Not even considered, goddammit, guys. But would not be surprised if either Bradley Cooper or Eddie Redmayne wins.
Okay.
Neither of those would surprise me. Steve Carell wins. Wouldn't be that surprised at all. It's like, he was damn good.
He was awesome.
He was damn good. As a matter of fact, the only one that would surprise me is Benedict Cumberbatch. Yeah. Most boring performance of all 5 of them. Easily.
Yeah.
I don't even know why. Why was he not? There are only... Hey, Drew, did you know?
No, I didn't.
There are only 3 films in history that have won the top 5
major awards, which are considered picture, actor, actress, director, and screenplay. Only five films have done that.
Okay.
These films are It Happened One Night, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, and The Silence of the Lambs.
Oh.
Silence of the Lambs was one of the last big... one of those. Also, keep this in mind when the telecast starts this weekend. The longest telecast in history, 74th Annual Oscars in 2001, which ran 4 hours and 18 minutes. What the fuck, guys? That is horrible.
Lots of long, awful speeches.
This
sure.
thing should be no longer than 60 minutes. 4 hours. Before that, 1999 telecast was a couple years earlier, 4 hours and 8 minutes. 98 telecast, 4 hours and 2 minutes. So for a while there, there was some major bloat. It was just terrible. Just terrible. And finally, here we go. Final category. Thanks for listening, guys. We appreciate it. You guys are awesome. Best motion picture. Best mission picture. It's, let me take a sip of beer and try to wake up.
Yes, it's the mission picture, Chris.
Best Michelin picture of the year. All right, here we go. And we have 1, 2. They can nominate up to 10 for best picture. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. We have 8. They can nominate up to 10. They can only come up with 8. They couldn't fucking... Someone was on here. This is the one that's on here. Anyway. I get so mad. I just get so mad. So angry. American Sniper. Clint Eastwood. Birdman. Alejandro Gonzalez Iñárritu. You gotta throw in one of those. Boyhood, Richard Linklater. Grand Budapest Hotel, Wes Anderson. Imitation Game, Nora Grossman. Who the hell are these people?
All the producers.
Those are all the producers.
You're reading. You're just.
Yeah,
reading.
But these are also. I'm picking the directors out. I don't know who directed. Imitation Game was directed by Milton Tidlum, whatever his name is. Selma, Anna DuVernay. Theory of Everything, James Marsh, the guy who did Man on Wire. And Whiplash, Damien Chazelle. Drew, for me, as I've been saying, it's down to Boyhood
and Birdman.
And because I went Linklater with director, and I don't think we're getting a split this year. We got a split last year with Argo and Life of Pi. Mm-hmm. Was that last year or was that 2 years ago? I can't remember. Doesn't matter. I'm going with the sameness. And if Birdman has a big night, great for Birdman. I'm super happy for the Birdman people.
You went Boyhood.
I'm going Boyhood.
You see, I went the same way you did. I went Birdman directing.
Birdman.
So guess what?
Birdman. Or The Unexpected Virtue of Ignorance, yes. Which is the theme of tonight's show.
The Unexpected Virtue of Ignorance. We'll see. Because let me tell you, I didn't really see a lot of these movies.
And I can very, very easily see a scenario where you destroy me, so... It'll be fun.
Well, yeah, I mean,
it'll be fun telling people how I only got like 8 right out of 24.
If Birdman wins over Boyhood, then yeah, you're screwed.
So let me see. We diverged on 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20 out of 24 categories. We have picked different categories, different choices. So it's going to be fun. The only way we can make this goddamn thing interesting at all is by betting our lives. If by our lives we mean we have to watch the thing. Well, thank you very much. We appreciate it. Drew, thank you.
You're very welcome.
Is this something I might want to? I don't know what that means. Okay. Well, guys, rate us and review us on iTunes. We appreciate it. If you want some free stickers, hit us up, cinemacrespediso@gmail.com. We're doing episode 111 this weekend from Crespediso Studio 3.0.
Are we?
For sure. Guaranteed.
I hope we have internet by then.
That's fine. If we don't have internet at the studio, I can get it done. The uploading part, the very next day, show will be 12 hours late.
There we go. Then we're good, yes.
It's good. We're all good. People, don't worry about it. I got this shit under control. We're good. So we're out of here. Drew, thank you. Arisa, thank you.
You're very welcome.
Thank you again. I'll make some dinner. Remember, support R-rated movies, read more books, and get your money out of the banks. Get them out. It's not safe there. It's not safe.